We're going to kind of showcase our groups. Our groups launch in 3 weeks on September 16th. And so this morning, we're going to talk about why it matters, and we're going to tell you about a couple groups that you might be able to be a part of. We're gonna parade them in front of you and let them try to impress you and recruit you to their group. So let me pray, and then we're gonna talk about why this matters so much. Father, thanks for the opportunity to be here together. Thanks for the folks that are in this room. Nobody's here by accident. We're all supposed to be here. And I come here eager this morning that you might say something to us, encourage us and challenge us and help us to grow. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I don't have to, this doesn't come as a surprise. You already know this, but they're not making movies like they used to anymore. Is anybody with me on that? I mean, there are some classics. Like, what movies are they putting out now that we're going to watch in 20 years? There's not one in the theaters. Like, I look at Morgan sometimes. I'm like, let's go to the movies. She says, what do you want to see? I say, none of them look any good. But if you look back into the 90s and the 80s, you guys, there are some classic movies. And to illustrate my point, do you guys know what the greatest grossing movie of all time in theaters is? Titanic. I'm sorry? Titanic. It's not Titanic. It was usurped. Is that a word? It was beaten by Avatar. Does anybody know that? It was beaten by Avatar, but none of you guys can tell me one person in Avatar. I don't think you can name anybody. That's my point. The movies aren't as good as they used to be, okay? Raise your hand if you have ever seen the movie Hoosiers. Has anybody seen that? It's a classic, you guys. When I was a kid, nothing made me want to play basketball like watching Hoosiers. There's one scene in particular that I want to remind you of if you've ever seen this movie. And if you haven't seen this movie, you got to go see it. There's this one scene, Gene Hackman is the coach of Hoosiers, Hickory High School, and so there's a bunch of guys that come try out, and like a bunch of them can't make it, they all have bad attitudes, and so he ends up with 6 players on the team. If you know anything about basketball, only 5 players play on the court at a time, so he's got one sub for Hickory. I don't even know what their mascot is, it just says Hickory on their red and yellow jerseys, okay? And in this one game, there's one player on the team, his last name is Rabe, R-A-B-E, Rabe, and Rabe is on fire. I mean, Rabe is a great shooter, and everybody loves when Rabe is playing well because Rabe can lead them to victory. Well, Gene Hackman, he comes and he huddles them up together, middle of the game. They're not winning, it's kind of a close game, and Gene Hackman says, out of principle, he says, every time we go down the court, 4 passes before we shoot. 4 passes before we shoot, every single time, this is the play that we're running. We're not gonna make it any more complicated than that. We're gonna move around, we're gonna play 4 passes before we shoot, and this is the play that we're running. They go back out on the court, and Rabe does not listen to Coach Gene Hackman, and he just starts firing up 3-pointers, and they're all going in. And he's not listening, he's not running the play that the coach wanted to play, but they're all going in. And so the crowd's going crazy, right? The crowd's like, Rabe is the hero MVP of the game. And so Gene Hackman, he's the only person essentially in the entire room who's not happy with Rabe. He looks at the 6th guy on the bench, their only sub, he says, hey, go check in for Rabe. And so this little guy comes over and he runs in and checks, and Rabe comes out and the whole crowd's like, why are you pulling this guy out? And Rabe sits down. Well, then what happens is one of the players on the court gets their 5th foul. And if you get 5 fouls in a game of basketball, you're out. You got to come off. And so this guy, Rabe, stands up. He goes, well, obviously I got to go back in because we only have 5 players that are eligible to play. So he goes, he kind of takes off his jacket. And Coach Hackman goes, where are you going? Where are you going? He goes, we only have 4 players out there. Sit down. And he sits Rabe down on the bench. The referee comes over. The crowd's like, what is going on? The referee comes over. He goes, Coach, you only have 4 players in the court. And the coach goes, my team's on the court. So they finish the game with 4 players. Why? Because Rabe wasn't running the play. It was a thing early in the season, and the coach wanted to make a point. He said, this is the play that we're running. This is what is going to define our team. This is how it's going to be. And if you want to be on this team, you got to run the play that we're running. You guys, in church, like our vision here at Three Creeks Church is to be a church that helps people find and follow God. And we've said that every single service that we've been here. But let me just kind of revisit it just for a second, all right? We want to help people find and follow God. I've only been doing this for like 6 months. You guys, you would not believe how many people have suggested different plays that we should run to help people find and follow God. I mean, every pastor I talk to has another idea on how we can grow our church, how I can help you be more spiritually mature, how I should preach, how James should sing songs. I mean, everybody has an opinion on how we should do this thing. And there are a lot of churches in town, and this isn't a bad thing at all. I want you to hear me say this, but there's a lot of churches that you may have gone to before. They've got like a million programs. They're running a lot of plays. This is good at times, but I'm saying there's churches that are doing so many things that a lot of times they stretch themselves out, they stretch themselves so thin that none of their plays are really working. They all just kind of exist. I'm not talking about a specific church. I'm just talking about a problem that is in a lot of churches. And so, you know, obviously we're in a school gymnasium. We rent this every week. We don't have a building. And so because of that, we can't run a million plays. We can't have a billion things going on. And so this morning, I just want to talk to you guys about the play that we are running as a church so that we could help you find and follow God. And I'm going to keep it really simple. I'm going to just talk to you about the play that we are running. We're not going to have a million plays to run here. We're just going to have one. The national average, if you polled churches across the whole country and said, what percentage of your Sunday morning attendance is in a small group in your church? The national average is 27% of people. At Three Creeks this past fall, our average, we had 81% of our people in small groups. That's amazing. That's amazing, you guys, because that's the play that we're running. Do you guys want to know what happens when you start to have a million different plays that you run? 27% happens. That's what happens when you spread yourself thin and you do a million different things. People decide to jump on different places, and then everything ends up being like a 5 or a 6. And when you just have one play that you're running, you can make it a 10. And so I just want to be very clear here, you guys, we are running a play to help you find and follow God, and we are going to have great community groups here at Three Creeks Church. And we're not backing down for that. We're not apologizing for that. We're saying this is the play that we are running. We have gotten to the point, and this actually sometimes on different days literally makes me want to quit, but we've gotten to the point here where I can't know everybody. You know, when we started and we had 40 or 50 people, maybe I was under the impression that I could know everybody. I could know everybody's story. I could be in touch with everybody. I could hold everybody accountable. We have passed that. We have usurped. Look at that, twice in one message. We have usurped that threshold where I can't know everybody. But here's the good news. Here's the great news about that. Here's what encourages me about that. It's actually not really my gifting. Like, if you know me as Joel Trainer, like, it's not really my gifting to be a pastor, shepherd type person. I'm really more of an apologist, teacher type person. And we're going to actually talk about gifting here in a couple weeks, and I can kind of go into that a little bit more. But I've been able to identify about myself that that's actually not my primary gift. Like, I love getting to know people in here, and it fuels my soul to get to hear your story. And I love to point you to Jesus, and I love to stand up here and point to Jesus. But you guys, we have a lot of people in our church that are way better than me at pastoring and shepherding. And what I mean by that is just kind of knowing your story, knowing who you are, and helping you walk through life and helping you find and follow God. We have identified these people who are gifted in this area. And guess what we did? We made them group leaders. We made them community group leaders. And so what happens is my role is on Sunday morning, I get to come up here and I get to teach from the Bible. And I am going to every single week try to convince you and show you that the best life possible is one where you follow this and when you love Jesus. And that's my role. But to some extent, and if we're just going to be honest for a second, to some extent, there's a wall between the stage and you. Like, I can't get to know you. I'm the only one talking. I'm not even listening to you. You guys, friends happen, accountability happens, prayer happens, you do life together, that happens. It's all happening in our community groups. And so I hear people all the time coming into church and go, I just couldn't get connected. It was too big. You guys, I'm just telling you, the play that we're running is you got to get in a community group. And the minute you do, it's not going to be too big. You're going to make friends like that. You're going to be held accountable like that. You're going to be challenged. You're going to be encouraged. And it's done in this community group setting. It's really awesome. If you just come in here on Sundays, you just end up being a consumer. there's more to be had at Three Creeks Church than coming in and consuming the show on Sunday morning. Because I guarantee you that we won't be good a lot of the time. And you'll go find somebody else to consume. And you're missing out on the most challenging, most encouraging part of our church. Am I being clear so far? Community groups matter. You guys, this matters. This whole week, I spent all of my personal time with the Lord in the first 8 chapters of Acts. I wanted to just be reminded when the church started, what was it like? And so I just read it. I read it. I tried to read it like I was reading it for the first time. And I would just ask God, like, what was this originally designed to look like? And in here, as I read the first 8 chapters of Acts, there was no mention of an A-frame parking sign. There was no mention of pipe and drape. There was no mention of lights or haze machines or sound systems. There was none of that. It's not bad. Probably if they had it, they used it. But it wasn't in here. It wasn't in here. And as I went through it, I just thought, God's plan was for people to follow God together. That was it. I mean, it was for people to follow God together. It was for people to read the Bible together. It was for people to pray together. It was for people to laugh together. It was for people to cry together. It was for people to share things with one another. It was for people to just regularly meet. There's a verse in here in Hebrews chapter 4 that says this. Do not stop meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but instead get together and spur one another on towards love and good deeds. This is a command in the Bible for us to spend time together. It's gonna require 2 things of you to join a group. And if for those of you who have been in groups and you're bought into groups, let this just be an encouragement to you that you are doing the right things. And if you're kind of like, I don't know if I have time for that, let me just tell you what it's gonna take from you. The first thing is this. It's gonna take a tremendous amount of humility for you to admit that you need to be in a group. Most of the people I talk to who aren't in groups essentially don't think that they need a group. It's gonna take a lot of humility for you to be in a group. And God says that he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Being humble is a godly thing. To admit that you need some help, to admit that you need accountability, to admit that you need someone to pray for you, it is a wise thing. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. It is far better to go through this life being wise than it is trying to be strong. Trying to be solo, trying to be Mr. You Can Do It All, Mrs. You Can Do It All on your own. That is, I don't know how to say this nicely other than just say, I just think you're crazy. We were not designed to go through this thing alone. And when you talk about doing it together, we're talking about doing it within our community groups. The second thing that it's gonna require of you, it's gonna require you to be very selfless. It's going to require you to be very selfless because as you sign up for a group, I want you to understand this, you're not signing up to just once again go and consume something. You're signing up to go and contribute. You're signing up to go pray with people. You're signing up, this is going to be crazy, you're signing up to potentially help someone move. It's like the worst thing ever. You're signing up to take somebody a meal when they have a baby or when someone's in the hospital. You're signing up to write a check for $150 when somebody in your group has car problems. You're signing up to walk through the toughest stuff people are ever gonna have to go through. You're signing up to celebrate with people. When kids have graduations, when kids score goals in soccer games, you're signing up to be a part of this. It's gonna require some selflessness. It's not gonna be easy. There's gonna be afternoons when you wanna sit on your couch underneath a blanket and watch TV, and someone in your group's gonna need something and they're gonna be counting on you. And you can count on them. You guys, being in a group matters. Gathering matters. There's no question. If you read Acts 1-8 and you look at the first church, this is the play they were running. A lot of other plays aren't wrong. I'm just saying, this is the play they were running. And so Three Creeks, we're gonna hold on to that. We're not gonna have a million different programs going on. We're gonna have community groups and they're gonna be great. Our vision, you guys, is to be a church that helps people find and follow God. And we want you to do that in the context of a community group. We have 9 unbelievable community group leaders. I'm telling you, they're awesome. And so we're gonna kind of parade them in front of you now. I hope this is kind of fun. I hope you laugh a little bit. I hope you get kind of a picture of who some of the leaders are in our church. One of the people who leads this charge for us, our community group's director, I happen to think that she's the most attractive person on the planet because she's my wife. Her name is Morgan, and I'm going to invite her up now. Could you guys give it up for Morgan real quick?